The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome to NFL Live on a Friday, everyone. Hey, we're just one day away from Super Wild Card Week, and you see it right here. We got six games, 12 teams still fighting for a shot at winning it all. We're going to be picking all these games today, so wait and see who everyone takes. Mina Kimes has made her way into studio. Ta-da!
I'm here.
I love
like
it.
I should do a little weird dance to honor
Dan. You should. Please do a weird dance, because if you sit in that seat, you're right. Dan Orlovsky does all kinds of weird dances, and somehow yours wasn't as weird as his. Marcus Spears is there. Hey, Ryan Clark is going to be joining us, having a little technical difficulties there. Coming up, we're going to talk about Urban Meyer and the fit in Jacksonville, as well as Field Yates. He's joining us too. So let's start with Field, and let's get the latest on some quarterback questions heading into this wild card weekend, because there's a lot. We start with the latest on the Rams and Jared Goff, Field.
Yeah, that's right, Laura. So normally when a coach says something like game time decision surrounding a player, it's, hey, he's questionable, but we don't want to tell you whether he's actually playing. The Rams are going to take this all the way up until kickoff on Saturday to decide on Jared Goff, who we know has that thumb injury. The big question might be whether, even if he doesn't start, can he enter the game at all? That's a big one to watch on Saturday. And then in Washington, Alex Smith, who played last week, started in that game to help vault them into the playoffs, still sore, we know that much. He's questionable. He will start as well for Washington on Saturday night. Taylor Heinicke has gotten plenty of reps this week, and perhaps he could see some action if need be. And by the way, Laura, one other story to keep in mind is the Browns, who in just a few minutes are going to practice for the first time all week amidst a slew of COVID issues. Crazy to think that about 48 hours from game time, the Browns still haven't practiced. They get a little bit of work in today on Friday. That's some good news. Still a huge challenge ahead for them going to Pittsburgh or playing the Steelers on Sunday night.
Yeah, Field, and of course, Kevin Stefanski, the Browns head coach, coaching from a distance during the week, but won't be able to be part of the game plan on the actual game day. Marcus Spears, give me a matchup you're watching closely this weekend.
Oh, is there any other one outside of DK Metcalf versus Jalen Ramsey, the much talked about matchup in Seattle Seahawks getting DK involved early and often in this game? They've shied away from Jalen Ramsey. He has 8 catches for 80-something yards in both matchups. DK Metcalf needs to get going early, Laura. This is the matchup I'm watching.
Ryan Clark, what about you?
I'm up and standing.
Listen,
I'm watching
Josh Allen against this coach.
I'm going with J.K. Dobbins, the Ravens running back, against the Titans linebackers. J.K. Dobbins is averaging 7 yards per carry off tackle, guys. That is insane. It is best in the NFL. He's been on an absolute tear over the last few weeks of the season. It's a tall task for a Titans linebacking group that has struggled at times to stop the run.
All right, now it's Ryan's turn. Go ahead.
That's my fault. Listen, I'm looking for Josh Allen against this Colts defense. Whenever you see a guy ascend the way that Josh Allen does, now we're expecting to see that play itself out in the playoffs. Can he do what Lamar Jackson hasn't done, is have that MVP caliber season and also win a playoff game against a defense that played extremely well throughout this season? I'm looking for Josh Allen to show that MVP type arm arrogance we've seen all year.
More wild card talk is coming, but one of the biggest stories around the league right now involves Deshaun Watson and the Houston Texans. Sources told ESPN's Adam Schefter that Deshaun Watson offered input on potential general manager candidates, but the Texans neither considered nor consulted with those endorsed by Watson. Instead, they hired Nick Caserio as their GM, did not inform Watson that they were going to make that hire. He found out on social media, and some think that could have contributed to his tweet that said, "Some things never change." He's deleted that tweet. Here's another reminder of where we are with the timeline of the Texans and Deshaun. Things started to sour last offseason when Bill O'Brien chose not to inform Watson that he was trading away DeAndre Hopkins. Of course, this week, owner Cal McNair ignoring Watson's request to at least meet with certain candidates. Caserio was introduced today as the new GM. And here's what he and McNair had to say about the Texans' predicament earlier.
I've come to understand that it's been reported that Deshaun feels left out of the process, that he and I had several visits, and I understood his point of view before meeting with candidates. I've reached out to Deshaun about Nick's hire, and I look forward to him getting back to me when he returns from his vacation.
Yeah, he's our quarterback. I think the most important thing for us is just to speak specifically to Deshaun. I'd say from afar, the respect and admiration that I have for him as a player and what he's done for this organization is significant. He's our quarterback. Quite frankly, he's a big part of the reason why over the last two seasons when we faced the Texans, that New England came out in the losing side of the ledger. And, you know, when the appropriate time comes, we'll sit and spend some time with Deshaun, but certainly looking forward to the opportunity to work with him.
Mina, you watched this press conference earlier, and even just watching your face there as we heard it again, did anything change after what was said today with your opinion about the Texans organization?
Yeah, so there wasn't a camera on me while Kyle McNair was talking, so I'll recreate it.
That's really what she was doing.
I mean, this is the ultimate, like, you had one job scenario, right? Don't alienate your most valuable employee. And I've seen people say, well, you know, is the quarterback really supposed to pick the head coach or the GM? He wasn't asking to pick them. He just wanted to be part of the conversation. How stupid is that to leave him out, right? And as far as next steps, look, Nick Caserio is in place and by all accounts is a great pick, even though the process was flawed. You haven't picked your head coach. So if I'm Houston, you got to do two things to make this right. Apologize to your quarterback for disrespecting him, frankly, for going back on what you said you would do, and then get him involved in that part, picking the head coach. Pray that he's not going to, you know, pull a James Harden and try to force his way out of there. I don't think he will, but I guarantee you every Texans fan at home would choose Deshaun Watson over the owners or anyone else we've seen.
Marcus.
My reaction was, really? Like, we are here talking about this with the Houston Texans, the franchise and organization that signed off on trading DeAndre Hopkins and didn't have any communication with Deshaun Watson? Are we really having this situation transpire after you've given him a long-term contract? Listen, for all of the people out there, he's not a part of ownership. Listen, this is about business relationships. Deshaun Watson is a big part of the Houston Texans business and how they make decisions. And it would have been nice. I'm not saying you have to, or that's a mandate. It would have been nice to have him involved in what your planning was, what you were doing. It would have been nice not to bring Caserio into a situation like this with his first opportunity to be a general manager. They messed it up. Mina is right. They messed this up. It needs to be a big, high communication value towards Deshaun Watson. It needs to be almost trying to woo him again. And I know what everybody's going to say. Well, he's already there. They paid him. No, this is about if you want to go into the future successfully, everybody on board, everybody knowing the mission so you can have some success. It was mad disrespectful. And the Houston Texans again. It wasn't all Bill O'Brien. Cal McNair, Jack Easterby, welcome to the crew, to the club.
Yeah, I mean, Mark is saying really, and I'm expecting or I'm envisioning a question mark after that. I don't have a question mark after that. This was expected. This is more of the same, as Deshaun Watson alluded to in his tweet. Some things never change. Like, let's not forget, during the social injustice protests, this was the same organization, and God rest his soul, Bob McNair has passed, where their owner said that you can't let the inmates run the prison. And that can be taken two ways. Obviously, at that time, it was taken racially. But now look at Deshaun Watson. You know how football works. Football is a clear distinction between ownership and label. And in this organization, it seems to be even more than others. And so what Cal McNair said was, listen, I ain't got to let Deshaun Watson make my decisions. I talked to him, I considered what he said, and then I went and did the hell what I wanted to do, which is okay. Yep. I think what Marcus was trying to tell y'all is, it's okay. It's not a need, it's not a rule, it's not a regulation that you have to consult with your franchise quarterback who accounted for 88% of your offense. You ain't got to talk to him. But what Marcus is saying, what Mina is saying, that if you don't, you have to be ready to repair that relationship. And if you don't want to repair it,
absolutely,
that's okay too, because Deshaun Watson will look for his way out of Houston. And remember, the only reason you were able to compete this year was because of him. When you tried to throw it away, he's the only reason that you're in games and can actually lose in fantastic fashion. J.J. Watt, right, who I felt like was full of cap, came out and said, dudes ain't working hard, dudes ain't playing hard. If you ain't gonna play hard, you shouldn't be here, blah, 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 people love us. But the one dude he walked up to after the season and said, say, bro, I'm sorry. We wasted a year of your career. We wasted a year of your life. Is Deshaun Watson. And though J.J. Watt used to be the face of the franchise, number four is now. And you didn't have to clear it with him, but you sure could have talked to him and communicated with him. This was an issue. They went about it the wrong way, but I ain't surprised because it's the Houston Texans.
And just a reminder that Deshaun Watson led the league in passing this year, only had four wins. And Caserio and McNair were actually asked about the coaching search today. They said they're going to get to that next. Let's bring Field back in here because, Field, you worked with Caserio in New England. Feels like he's not getting a fair shake in all this. People don't even care maybe what his credentials are because they're talking about the Deshaun Watson angle here. But what can you tell us about Caserio and what he brings to the table?
Right, Laura, this is a man who was one of the most coveted GM candidates over the past handful of years, finally gets hired, and his remarks were basically footnotes today during the press conference. But here's what I can tell you about Nick. And, you know, Mina will tell you that if you can get into Yale, you're smart. If you work in the NFL, you work hard. But Nick Caserio is a different level of worker. And, you know, we talk about the Patriots always coveting versatility in their players. They covet that in their scouts and their head of scouting as well, because Nick Caserio is one of the most versatile pieces of their organization over the past 20 years. Yes, he oversaw both pro and college scouting. He was a part of the salary cap negotiations. He was a fill-in coach when the Patriots needed him, working with a variety of different groups during his tenure. He also, if needed, for example, he'd throw for workouts when they brought free agents in. The guy would do a little bit of everything, one of the most respected people, great communicator in their building, a man of principle. This should be a celebratory day for the Houston Texans, but in watching that press conference, it was one of the most awkward introductory press conferences I've ever watched, as Nick Caserio, who had nothing to do with this big mess the Texans are working through right now, had to basically defend the actions of other and try to clear up the organization's issues with Deshaun Watson right now. He's got a big task ahead of him. I do believe, though, he is up for this challenge.
Yeah, Deshaun Watson did say as well that his tweet about some things never change, or at least sources said that was not directly at Caserio, just more about the whole situation. Some more interesting news to get to today, as Urban Meyer is interviewing with the Jacksonville Jaguars. And this really interesting. Urban Meyer, some wondered, would he return to coaching? Would he return at the college level after stepping away from Ohio State? Or would he maybe make that jump to the NFL? Field, what more can you tell us about Urban Meyer interviewing with the Jaguars?
One of the most respected candidates on the market, Laura, as you know well, over his last nine seasons in college football, Urban Meyer lost a total of 15 games. That's how many games the Jaguars lost just this past year. You know his credentials. However, everybody around the NFL is having a hard time figuring out which coach might be the leader in the clubhouse for which job. Except for this one, as everybody is keeping their eyes open, sort of waiting with bated breath about whether Urban Meyer takes this job in Jacksonville and whether it includes both head coach and personnel duties as sort of the presumptive GM in Jacksonville as well. It's an attractive job. Urban Meyer's at the top of the market in a lot of people's eyes for Jacksonville. It may not be the only domino, but it might be the first domino that has to fall in the coaching market.
Yeah, really interesting. He would probably want a lot of ownership, I would imagine, of any job that he might take. We'll keep an eye on that. Ryan, would you want to play for Urban Meyer if you're at the NFL level?
You know, I think this is a harsh question, right? Because when you say no, or it's not something someone you look to towards playing to, it's taken as a total negative. But no, I wouldn't want to play for Urban Meyer. And I played for one of the greatest – nope, let me rephrase that. I played for the greatest college football coach of all time, Nick Saban. And I remember how I felt playing for Nick Saban. I would have not wanted him to be my NFL coach at 27, at 28 years old. The dictatorship and the dictator-like moves and actions that they have in order to control young men, in order to control kids, you can't have that same type of personality in NFL. It wears on you. You're dealing with older and more experienced players. You're dealing with men who have children and lives and families of their own. I don't know if Urban Meyer would be able to make that adjustment, as Nick wasn't able to make it either.
That's a good point. in my view, you know, I heard what Fields said about leadership, and they're looking for a culture change in that locker room in Jacksonville. And it feels like, I know we have the memory of ants these days, but it feels like everyone's forgot the circumstances in which Urban Meyer left Ohio State.
Yeah.
2018, he deliberately misled people about his knowledge of a domestic violence incident involving one of his coaches. And I'm not saying, before anyone jumps in here and says, you're saying he should never have another job. I'm not saying that. I'm saying you have candidates out there like Robert Saleh, Eric Bieniemy, Brian Daboll, who are amazing leaders of men and amazing head coaches. So I don't understand this personally because the other options are so much better.
It's a really good reminder of the history that...
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Is part of this conversation. We've got some quick reads coming your way for the Colts and Bills. It's kicking off Super Wild Card Weekend on Saturday. So what should we be looking out for in this one? Field, start us off with some injury updates on the Bills wide receivers.
Yeah, that's right. Stephon Diggs, their first-team All-Pro wide receiver, questionable because of an oblique injury. No real cause for concern there, Laura, but keep an eye on Cole Beasley, recently called by head coach Sean McDermott week-to-week with a knee issue. Worth noting, the team did promote Duke Williams from the practice squad for the game tomorrow. Keep an eye on whether or not Beasley is good to go. For the Bills, though, we know they are so deep and talented on offense.
Now listen, Jonathan Taylor, he's the great protector for the Indianapolis Colts in this game. He would be what Marcus would be if we were all walking down Bourbon Street and all hell broke loose. Jonathan Taylor can protect the Colts defense from having to face Josh Allen too much, but he also can move the ball and protect the Colts from making Phillip Rivers have to do too much against this opportunistic Buffalo Bills defense that played very well down the stretch. Give Jonathan Taylor the ball, feed him, and he'll get you to eat.
Well, RC, I want you in that damn alley with me when we got to get busy. But for me, this is about Phillip Rivers taking care of the football. We tend to forget that Tre'Davious White is on the other side. We tend to forget that Poyer is a safety that hits hard. We tend to forget that at times that this Buffalo defense has been playing out of their mind because of Josh Allen and what the offense has been doing. Phillip Rivers, be careful when you throw that thing up in the air because they go and get him.
A little hurt that nobody wants me in this proverbial alley.
We can all agree that you would be our secret weapon in the dark alley. Come on.
Like the guy in Ocean's 11 who comes out of nowhere and does jujitsu. All right. So, look, this Bills offense is an absolute bulldozer. They're why I'm picking the Bills to win. But one thing I've noticed while looking through the statistics and some of the last the games this season is that Josh Allen has struggled more against cover two. What does Indianapolis do? Cover two. They play it almost exclusively. They're a very old school defense that way. Now, I'm not saying they're going to stop Josh Allen, but I am saying if there's one defense that's built to do it, it might be the Colts.
Hey, look
at this. Byron Jones got that pick in cover two.
I love it. Look at this, you guys. As you said, Mina, you're picking the Bills. I'm picking the Bills. Ryan's picking the Bills. Marcus, what are you doing? You're picking the Colts. We got to find out why. What's up with that?
I'm taking the Indy Coast. Listen, this is the playoffs, all right? And I know everybody's excited, and Buffalo has been rolling, and Buffalo is going to compete hard in this game. I'm just taking Indy because I feel like Indy has some things about them and their team that they can take advantage of against Buffalo, one being what Ryan mentioned with Jonathan Taylor. So I'm excited about this one, man. I want Indy to come out and really challenge Buffalo. Last time we saw Buffalo play, they put up 56 points on the board. I can almost guarantee you that this game will be a lot closer and a lot more contested than the ones we watched them play
the last
month.
You can tell he wasn't that confident the way his voice broke when he was like, I'm excited about picking Indy. You are not excited.
Nope.
I'm not that confident.
He's not that excited, and he's not that confident.
I'm excited.
I'm not that confident, but I'm going to take him.
Hey, listen. Hey, I guarantee you that voice not going to be cracking if the Colts end up winning the game.
Sure.
All right. Time now for DraftKings plays of the day. And let's bring Field back in here for some daily fantasy action. What should we be looking for this weekend, Field?
Let's help you build a lineup, Laura. Everybody wants a little fantasy in their life during Super Wild Card Weekend. Let's start with Josh Allen, $7,500 on DraftKings. And I hear you, Mina. Yes, the Colts are relying upon cover two, and Josh has had some issues there, but I do suspect a big game ahead for Josh Allen, who has been unbelievable, if not for Aaron Rodgers and obviously Patrick Mahomes, could be an MVP-type season. How about J.K. Dobbins for the Baltimore Ravens at my running back pick, a guy whose price is just $6,600 this weekend. Been really good, really consistent down the stretch, number one back in that backfield. And then finally, let's get you to a value play at wide receiver if he plays. It's Darnell Mooney for the Chicago Bears. They play on Sunday in the afternoon game. He's been limited, actually didn't practice at all this week because of a knee injury suffered last week, but the guy's been super involved for the Bears in recent games. If he does play, could find some value there in that game against the New Orleans Saints.
All right, you get your lineup set thanks to Phil Yates, our fan.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Fantasy lineup set right there. It is a super wild card weekend. Triple headers both days. And this is our game, the Ravens versus the Titans, Sunday at 1 Eastern on ESPN ABC and ESPN Deportes, with megacast presentations on ESPN2, ESPN Plus, and Freeform. We'll see you on ESPN Plus with our megacast Between the Lines. All right, the Ravens are entering the playoffs on a 5-game winning streak in which they rush for the most yards across a 5-game span in the Super Bowl era. But enter Derrick Henry, the NFL's rushing king, who has ran for the second most per game in postseason history behind only Hall of Famer Terrell Davis. Our Football Power Index projects Baltimore to win by just 4.3 points. And remember, the Titans knocked off the 14-win Ravens in divisional round last postseason. Let's see who we're picking here on NFL Live. And I have a feeling we're all on the Ravens. Yep, I'm right. We're all on the Ravens. Oh. All right. Yeah, Marcus is saying, oh, no, because anytime we all pick the same team, it doesn't go well for that team. Either way, Marcus, what will be the difference this time from the previous meetings from these Ravens and Titans?
Why nobody on this show can have the courage that I have and pick against
you
the Rams?
You sounded really
right?
courageous.
So we can get this thing.
Earlier, picking the
man.
It's all against the green. It's all against the green.
Well, that's, you got a point there with the last 2 years. I got you. All right, settle down now. Let me get my analysis. Defense. Baltimore Ravens defense. This is going to be a four-quarter game in the trenches. Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing. Make Ryan Tannehill beat you. Not like last year in the playoffs. Do not allow the Tennessee Titans offense to play on schedule, or you will be bludgeoned to death by this run game.
Death.
The Baltimore Ravens not only have to create tackles for loss, they got to win at the line of scrimmage and play this game across the Titans' line of scrimmage, as opposed to trying to get off blocks and make tackles at this man running downhill. Get to him early and often, make him shuffle his feet in the backfield, and force Ryan Tannehill, A.J. Brown, and Corey Davis to beat you. Don't let Derrick Henry and this offensive line bludgeon you, Baltimore Ravens defensive line. Brandon Williams, my dog, my young buck, handle your business, man.
Make big man ballin'.
yeah.
So I picked the Ravens in large part because the offense has a much easier job, Marcus, than the Ravens defense, because the Titans defense is, how do I put this gently, terrible. Okay, so total lack of a pass rush, a secondary that covers about as well as one of those little towels you get at the gym where you always got to get like three towels and kind of put them together to cover up your body. And they're the worst defense. You guys know what I'm talking about. Marcus, you definitely know what I'm talking about. And they got... They have the worst defense in the NFL against play action. Quarterbacks using play action against the Titans have a passer rating of 143. They turn everyone into Patrick Mahomes, basically. What do the Ravens do? Use play action. The Titans offense is going to have to pick up the slack if they want to stay in this, Ryan.
You know, sometimes I wonder about those towels, if they're like a washcloth or if someone thinks it's an actual
towel. Mina started it.
It's like you could just wrap maybe a baby
RC,
in that.
RC, dry your hand
RC,
off with.
Before you go, I'm just RC, before you go, I'm just letting everybody out there in the world know Mina started
yep.
this barrage of insults I'm about to have the rest of the show.
All right. Well, okay? But Ryan, I'm not going to let
you. Because you can wrap yourself with a washcloth.
Ryan, I have to ask you about Lamar Jackson, okay? Listen, he's been one and done in the last 2 years of the playoffs. You think that factors in the way he's thinking about his motivation for this game?
Yeah, I think he definitely thinks about it, but I think he understands it more. Obviously, going into last year, it was a ton of pressure. He was the MVP. He said something this week that made me feel good about him. He said, you know what? There's a lot of great players who haven't won playoff games, but I do understand why people look at me this way. Now he understands it's about his greatness. It's about his uniqueness. It's about his success. He also understands that not only have a lot of great players not won playoffs, nobody picked in front of him to quarterback any teams has won a playoff game. Also, none of those dudes have been the MVP. Mm-hmm. So he is special. And I think Greg Roman now understands we have to let him be special. You have to let Lamar do Lamar. And listen, Mina was right. If they need three towels to cover up, that's the Tennessee Titans defense, then Lamar Jackson is on my 600-pound life. They're going to need more than that to stop who he is and who he has become and what this offense has been through the last 5 weeks of this season. I'm excited to see Lamar be Lamar and attack this Tennessee Titans defense. It's going to take a whole lot of Derrick Henry and a whole lot of Ryan Tannehill for them to win this game.
Yeah, the problem with this towel thing is it's impossible to not have visuals of people scrambling to cover themselves up with towels. It's impossible.
RC.
Yo.
RC. How mean is that doctor on 600-pound life, bro?
He's so mean.
Disrespectful.
Guys, it's been a week of uncertainty for the Cleveland Browns, and that's where we're going now. They are dealing, of course, with a COVID outbreak coming off the high of making it to the playoffs for the first time since 2002 to then, of course, dealing with finding out their head coach, Kevin Stefanski, and some key players not available for the game on Sunday once again against the Steelers. Phil Yates, what more can you tell us about the Browns and their current situation as now we're getting closer and closer to this game?
Well, the first thing I can tell you, Laura, is I'm going to use some courage that I have inside of me, and I'll take the Titans. I am with you, Tennessee, on
Boom.
Sunday. Give me the Titans. The rest of you guys can be wrong and admit
right.
it as much to me
there
on
go,
Sunday
Phil.
Afternoon after
Love
the game
it.
Is over. But on the Browns, this is unfamiliar territory for Cleveland, given that they haven't made it to the playoffs in 18 seasons. And it's even more unfamiliar territory, given the fact that they haven't practiced until starting 6 minutes ago in a week of preparation leading up against the Pittsburgh Steelers. You mentioned their head coach, Kevin Stefanski. He's out on Sunday. Their longest tenured player, a three-time Pro Bowler, Joel Bitonio, is out on Sunday, amongst other key pieces in this organization. This has been the year of unusual preparation for the entire NFL, and teams like the Steelers, the Browns' opponent on Sunday night, have been dealing with that. But to say that the challenge for the Browns is a big one on Sunday night is an understatement. The only silver lining, if there is one, is the fact that the Browns spent last week preparing for the same Steelers team. Not all the key pieces like Ben Roethlisberger and TJ Watt and Cam Hayward, but the same Steelers team. So perhaps familiarity plus the emotion of being there for the first time in forever can carry the Browns what will be a huge upset on Sunday night.
Yeah, speaking of courage, I guess I don't have much because I really wanted to pick the Browns. And then I didn't. Anyway, Juju Smith-Schuster also had something to say about facing the Browns. Let's hear this.
Nah, I think they're still the same Browns team I play every year. I think they're nameless, great faces. Yes, they have a couple good players on their team, but at the end of the day, like, I don't know. Like, it's the Browns. It's the Browns. And that's just, like, one of those things that, you know, AFC North football, and they're a good team, but I'm just happy we're playing them again, you know, this Sunday.
Oh, goodness, Juju. Okay, Ryan, is this just the motivation that these depleted Browns needed?
Hell no, because you said it right. It's the depleted Browns. Do you think they not have motivation when they were playing against the New York Jets? Oh, we're missing four people. Let's go play really hard. Womp, womp, womp. You lost. That's not how it works. And all Juju is doing is repeating everything that he's inherited once he walked into the Pittsburgh Steelers training facility for the first time.
when you walk in and you see the six Lombardis, there might as well have on top of those six Lombardis, the Browns are the Browns. Now, I think that these Browns are different. I think that these Browns are better. But Juju Smith-Schuster just let it out the bag what everybody in that building thinks. That is called when keeping it real goes public. Now he just has to show up and play ball and not worry about dancing on logos, because the Browns will play hard. They will attempt to win. But I think what they are facing, the adversity and the obstacles of COVID, is just a little too much to overcome.
Chappelle, what up, man? I like that keeping it real goes public. Listen, this is what we said in the meeting was what I wanted to come on TV with. But I have to acknowledge something, all right, that we didn't talk about during our pre-show meeting. Like, y'all, where is the lie, though? Like, think about what Juju just said. Where's the lie? The first time these two teams played each other, the score was 38-7. That was the final. And Juju just watched without their stars playing and the Cleveland Browns fighting to get into the playoffs win by two against a Mason Rudolph-led Pittsburgh Steelers team. So in the Steelers' mind this year, even though they beat the Pittsburgh Steelers the last week of the season, Juju is kind of just telling the truth based on what we've watched transpire this particular year. I'm not talking about the history.
That's
real. I'm talking about this year. 38-7, and you won by two against Mason Rudolph without all of their stars playing. So Juju kind of got a point.
Well, the question was, does Juju's slide give the Browns motivation? My answer is, does motivation play safety? Because that's what they need, right? Like, they are plumb out of DBs. It's not their fault. It's not their fault. They're missing guys. Roddy Harrison has been arguably the best. I'm trying to start fights today.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Look, Ronnie Harrison is out. He's the only safety on that roster who's allowed a passer rating below 100, guys. Like, it's not the Browns' fault. I'm rooting for you, Cleveland. I think Kevin Stefanski should be allowed to coach, but they're up against it, and facts are the facts.
Yeah,
Man, they got to be calling the doo-doo Browns then. They stink.
Oh, no. Well, we'll see after the game. If they win, they won't be doo-doo, I can tell you that much. We're all picking the Steelers in this one, just in case you were wondering. Like I said, I tried to get brave and pick the Browns, but I just couldn't do it. So here we are. Baker Mayfield, he's going to be look to become the first number one pick to win his playoff debut since Alex Smith back in 2011. All right, time for some quick reads. What are you watching for in Bears Saints Field? Actually, we're not doing that. This looks like that would be the Rams and the Seahawks. So let's do that instead. Jared Goff, questionable after limited practice. Of course, he's dealing with the thumb injury. Some wonder, will we see Jared Goff? Will we see John Walford at quarterback for LA on Saturday? He probably would have wished that they had another day to get ready for this game. All right, so we're all on the Seahawks for this one, but we're going to get to breaking news right now because we just heard this about Mike Nolan. He has been let go by the Cowboys. The Cowboys defensive coordinator has been fired. Marcus, I'll start with you on this. With all of the woes that the Cowboys faced this year, defense and Mike Nolan, top of the list, they've now decided to move on from him.
I mean, what y'all wanted me to say? it should have happened. Like, I mean, we all watched the Dallas Cowboys play defense. But on a serious note, like, this wasn't – what he tried to implement from a defensive standpoint was not suited to the personnel that the Dallas Cowboys have. This was a 4-3 up-the-field football team for the last, 4 years with Rob Marinelli. They were attacking aggressive. When we saw DeMarcus Lawrence being one of the best defensive ends in the league, he was rushing 95% of the time as opposed to dropping out or trying to play some semblance of a 5-2 look, what they did this year. It was too much that first of all, thrown on their plate without an offseason. The scheme did not fit the personnel that you had, and this was the inevitable outcome of what we watched the Cowboys, how we watched them perform defensively. So Mike Nolan had to go. He said he wasn't going to fire McCarthy, but somebody had to get damn fired after this season.
Ryan, what do you think?
No, 100%. Somebody had to go lower, and why not Mike Nolan? When you look at this defense, here is when I look at coaches and I say, you know what, you're probably not a good coach. When the people you know are really good football players look like really bad football players. When you can't adjust your scheme, when you can't understand what type of guys you have on your team and allow them to excel. Mike Nolan couldn't do that. And on a team that had many reasons to be absolutely terrible, this was the largest reason. Now you get a chance to reset. You hope you get an offseason. But more importantly, you find someone that knows how to maximize the potential of the athletes you have on that side of the football.
Let's bring in Field Yates with more on this. Of course, this news coming down just now, first reported by Fox Sports that Mike Nolan, the defensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys, has been fired. Field, what more can you tell us about the decision?
Yeah, Laura, a lot of people around the NFL anticipated some sort of change for the Cowboys. And when you're in the NFL, you start with four principal people. Is it the quarterback's fault? Nope, that's not the case here in Dallas. Is it the head coach's fault? It might be, but Jerry Jones, the owner, has backed Mike McCarthy. Then you go to the coordinators. We've got one coordinator in Kellen Moore who just got a new extension and is a coveted coaching prospect in his own right. And then you look at Mike Nolan, and both Swagoo and Ryan spelled it out correctly. This was a doomed marriage from the beginning, an historically bad performance from the Cowboys this year. Too many players making too much money, looking like they had just begun their careers in the NFL this year for Dallas. Somebody had to go. Change was inevitable. Mike Nolan is the person who is the odd man out in this dynamic.
And I'll say this, spinning it forward, whoever comes in and replaces him is going to have to fix this without outside resources, because this defense is what it is. Like, they're pretty much capped out, especially after they pay Dak Prescott. They've already given out big contracts to the running back, the wide receiver, DeMarcus Lawrence. They can't go adding players. You know, they let Byron Jones walk. So maybe the draft can help on defense, but for the most part, whoever comes in as a new coordinator is.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Gonna have to make do with what they have.
Washington is the third team in the Super Bowl era to win their division despite holding a losing record. And funny enough, both of the previous two teams to do it went on to win their wild card matchup. Of course, this is all about Tom Brady and his pressure rate against the Bucs. Now, he doesn't like to be hit. He's registered the fourth worst QBR when under pressure this season, ahead of only Andy Dalton, Carson Wentz, and Joe Burrow. Chase Young feels pretty confident about facing Brady.
Tom Brady? You think I'm not going to be excited to play against the GOAT? Then you tripping. And that is what it is. I'm excited to play against Big Tom. I'm not going to apologize for saying I want Tom. No. I want Tom Brady. I want every quarterback I play against. So, yeah, that's how I'm going.
I love it. He's not backing down at all. Well, as you can see, we all think that the Bucs are going to win this one. But, Ryan, how big of a day does Chase Young need to have to even keep this thing close in your mind?
They need to bring back out that dude from Penn State that was blocking him last year. He need to have that kind of day, because if he doesn't, this game isn't going to be close. And I love Chase Young. I wish they would have let him talk more at Ohio State, because I love listening to him. But if he doesn't get to Tom Brady, if Montez Sweat doesn't get to him, if Payne and Allen don't force the pocket, if they don't get turnovers, they don't score themselves, they're going to get blowed out. Not blown, blowed out. And so they need a monster day from not just Chase Young, but from everyone else on the Washington football defense.
Marcus, all the talk about Brady, right? But what about this Bucs defense?
Yeah, I think people have forgotten about how this defense has been able to make plays and turn games into routes. Jason Pierre-Paul has had a tremendous season. Shaq Barrett is about to get paid. I hate that Devin White won't be able to play in this game, but Kevin Minter will step in. And Todd Bowles. Todd Bowles is about to put a defense on the field against an offense that sucks. Let's all be honest. The Washington football team's offense is not good, and they're about to face a crew that can get after your passer as well. that can turn the football over. As long as they play disciplined football for the Bucs, they'll have some turnovers. They'll have some opportunities to make huge game-changing type plays. Long as Dean don't start peeking in the backfield and Carl Davis don't get greedy and they just play defense and Winfield handle his business on the back end, they'll be fine. Because this offense, like, it's not good. And I hate saying it. It's all a lot of great stories surrounding the Washington football team. The defensive line and defense has played well and they're outstanding. But this offense ain't good, y'all, and we all know it. So the Bucs defense can be the reason why the Bucs just completely take over this game.
Yeah, Marcus, you've been wanting to say that all week. I'm so glad you got it out. Let's get to another big game that we we keep talking about here today.
I said 600 pounds.
Exactly. Yes, you did. As we get ready for Super Wild Card Weekend, the Rams taking on the Seahawks. We've all picked the Seahawks here. Some question marks about the quarterback spot for the Rams. Ryan, does it even matter who plays quarterback for the Rams?
Nope. Sean McVay going to have the coach's butt off, whichever quarterback plays. He's going to have to make sure he puts him in the right position, make sure he does everything to help them, run the football, and hope that the defense plays as it's played all year. It doesn't matter who quarterbacks for the Rams. It's all about Sean McVay and how he can dial up the right plays at the right time to give his team the best chance for the upset in Seattle.
It's all about Sean McVay, and it's also all about the Rams' defense. They basically have Russell Wilson's number. I mean, they're like Adam Schefter. They got everybody's number, but they really got Russell Wilson's number. I mean, people don't respect this Rams defense enough. They're the best pass defense in the NFL. They're the best defense in the playoffs, in my opinion. So Russell Wilson's got his work cut out for him. But there's a reason why I picked them to win. RC and I both had the same score, 20-17, and that is the quarterback. It is Russell Wilson versus either injured Jared Goff or John Wolford. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. I think both defenses are actually better than both offenses. But ultimately, you got to go with Wilson.
Marcus, quickly, is it a bad sign that it feels like people don't even care whether it's Jared Goff or Wolford in this game?
You think? Like, I know we're about to end this show. But, y'all, the fact that Ryan said it didn't matter, they paid this dude $100 million. And we sitting here today, they about to play a playoff game.
Yeah.
And we saying it ain't a big deal that he not playing in the game. That is a problem.
Some people,
is a huge problem.
Some people might even be like, well, Wolford might be like even a better option. I don't know. Is anyone whispering that?
Adam Schefter refers to Wofford as a financial analyst when he's talking about him, and we not worried about that Jared Goff not playing.
Enjoy the game
this
weekend.
We got problems in L.A.
Let's go.